Okay, let me pray, and then we'll delve into the scriptures together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for what we've already heard and experienced. Thank you for your love for us, your chesed love for us. And we sit now in surrounded by that covenant love, by that chesed love. We sit now at your feet and open our ears and hearts to what you have to say. So lead us now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're now in the third of our series looking at the will of God, looking at how God leads and guides us. What is God's will for our lives? Big question. How does God direct our paths, our decision-making? How do we discern the will of God in general terms, but also in those specific moments in life? And we've looked at a couple of areas already. We looked at how God speaks and reveals his will through the scriptures. Sometimes that's very much direct leading. God leads us to a particular passage or verse that speaks very specifically into our situation. But we also discussed how scripture plays an important role in our ongoing relationship with God. As we get to know God better, and we do that primarily through reading the scriptures, as we get to know God better, we get to understand more fully his character. We get to understand how he feels about certain situations, his desires, his purposes, those sorts of things. And we're able to then align ourselves with him. You know, the more you get to know someone, if you're in a relationship, if you're married or something like that, the more you get to know your partner, the more you end up thinking like them, or at least knowing how they would think. I know that when I'm in the shop and I see something I want and I go to get it, I hear Katrina in my head going, "We can't afford it, darling, put it back." You know, you know how they'll feel about that. Yeah? And the same is true of God. You get to know God's character, and that guides us and leads us. Well, alongside scripture, we looked at the place and role of tradition in discerning the will of God. What was interesting is that when we looked at tradition, the same things came out, that it is all about relationship. And actually, tradition plays a role within facilitating relationships. That's at the core of that. And by that, we can then evaluate tradition in terms of, does this facilitate good relationships? And when tradition does that, fantastic, we embrace it. When tradition doesn't, we may then need to either refine that tradition, change it, modify it, or jettison it altogether. The point is the relationship behind those traditions. Is it helping there? So we've looked at scripture and tradition. This morning I'd like us to start thinking about perhaps some of the more unusual ways in which God communicates his will, some of the ways that we might regard as supernatural. Now, I'm imagining us spending a few seminars on different aspects of this. I imagine we're going to spend a session looking specifically at prophecy. I really want to do that. Looking at the work of the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing. Today, I kind of want to lay the foundations for those coming seminars by doing a little bit of a biblical survey of the ways in which God speaks, just to sort of lay down the foundation. And perhaps within this, I'd love to hear from any of you if you've experienced any of these specific ways in which God speaks. Great to get some testimony there. But it'll be a little bit of a whistle-stop tour. I hope that's all right this morning. So at the heart of this is the idea, more than an idea, is the belief God speaks. All right? God speaks. Do we all agree with that? Yeah? It's one of the fundamental beliefs within our Christian faith. The God who created the universe speaks. In fact, if you think about it, the Bible starts off with God speaking. It describes the process of creation as one where God speaks the universe into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In other words, we recognize that God is not passive in this world. He didn't just create this world and set it spinning and then left it to its own devices. No, he communicates. He expresses his will to his creation. And that's often referred to as God speaking. And I say all that because those of us who've been brought up in the Christian faith may have no issue with that at all. But this is quite a radical statement to say that God speaks. It's not how other religions throughout history have necessarily understood God or the gods. The gods didn't speak in that sort of literal sense. That's not how they kind of understood the gods working. They would rarely communicate in that way. In most cases, you discern the will of the gods not by anything audible or any sort of direct communication, but simply by the way life was working out. So if you had a bumper harvest and your crops did really well, you would say, ah, we're in the will of God or the gods. The gods are pleased with us. They have blessed us. And then the next year when you have a famine or a natural disaster or flood or something like that, oh no, we've displeased God. This is judgment. That's how God or the gods were seen to communicate to creation, simply by the circumstances of what was happening. Not so in Christianity. Not so in our faith. At the core of our faith is this understanding that every single one of us can have a personal, living, dynamic, communicative relationship with God. That is wonderful. Doesn't that make you want to go hallelujah? It does me anyway. But let's be realistic. We can buy into that. We can believe that. But the fact of the matter is we're not all wandering around having a great conversation with God all the time as if he's on a sort of hands-free kit in our ear. That's not how it works. God speaks, but the form in which that communication takes place can take many different expressions. So I want to look at some of the examples in the scriptures. And as I say, I'd be interested if you've experienced any of these. It's not an exhaustive survey, by the way. There are other ways in which God speaks, but we'll pick up on a few of them. The first way God speaks is through a public, audible voice. Emphasis on public there. Public, audible voice. We have an example of this in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and verse 23 onwards says this. This is presumably Moses communicating at this point. He says, when you heard the voice out of the darkness while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leaders of your tribes and your elders came to me. And you said, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that people can live even if God speaks to them. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. And it goes on from there. This is a moment just after the Ten Commandments have been given. That critical point in the formation and life of Israel, as God sets out the parameters of being the people of God. There is a sense even here that this is an unusual and very rare occasion when the masses get to hear the voice of God. If you think about it, a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament, even they don't get to hear the voice of God in quite the same way. Often when prophecies are given through prophets, the prophets receive them in visions and dreams and that sort of thing. But not so here. It appears that God speaks audibly to a large number of people. And the same thing happens when we head into the New Testament at certain points. In Jesus' life, there's at least three occasions where it appears God speaks audibly and in public. Firstly, at Jesus' baptism, Jesus comes up out of the water, and what do we hear? A voice from heaven saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. That same sentence is echoed again at the transfiguration when Jesus appears in all his glory. Same thing, voice from heaven saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. There's another occasion that appears in the life of Jesus. It's found in John's gospel, John chapter 12. Jesus has just predicted his own death, been speaking about his own death. And so this is just before the crucifixion. And he says this in chapter 12, verse 27 of John's Gospel. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." It's interesting that on that occasion, God speaks, and a number of people think it's thunder. They don't seem to hear words. Other people think it must have been an angel that had spoken. So they must have heard something that resembled communication, but they don't seem to, we don't know whether they fully understood. I imagine there were probably other people, maybe, that did understand exactly what was said, because Jesus goes on and said, "This was for your benefit." But we're not told. What we do know is God spoke, and it was in public, and people heard. Whether they understood or not, we don't know. Similar sort of event happens, of course, in Paul's life, when Paul gets converted in Acts chapter 9. You know, he has that great Damascus Road experience, the light shines, and Paul hears the voice of God. And what's interesting in that situation, again, a little bit like the thundering, is the people who were there heard it, something, but they didn't know what was said. Interesting. What I would say about these sort of public, audible expressions of God is that these events seem to happen at major turning points in world history. All right, in major turning points in people's lives and in world history. They happen at the giving of the Ten Commandments. They happen at Jesus' baptism as he aligns himself with sinful humanity. They happen at Jesus' transfiguration, where he is revealed in all his glory. And they happen before the events of the cross. They happen when Paul is commissioned to take the gospel into the rest of the world, and Gentiles are brought in to the purposes of God. Major global events. And as such, I would suggest unusual events. I mean, I don't know. Has anybody heard a public expression of God's voice? I was kind of banking on no one. Otherwise, I've missed some sort of global event. But there we go. Yeah, it's unusual. And I would suggest that these things happen when the reality of what is being spoken of is either hard to understand or hard to accept, where it's going to be difficult. Jack Deere, in his book, Surprised by the Voice of God, talks about the clearer the revelation given to an individual by God, the harder the task before them is likely to be. Interesting. The clearer the revelation given to an individual by God, the harder the task before them is likely to be. In other words, you're going to need that clarity. You're going to need that surety, because it's going to get tough. And in actual fact, that seems to be the case. You think of Paul, he needed the clarity of his conversion for what he was going to face and the persecution that he was going to face. And the other thing I guess we can look at with these big public utterances of God is they don't seem to be particularly comfortable experiences, you know? The people of God, when they received the Ten Commandments, it wasn't a comfortable, peaceful experience. It's a scary thing, despite the messages often being about the grace and the mercy of God. So they're rare. And as I say, I'm not aware of anyone who has had that kind of experience. More likely, although I suggest still fairly rare, is the external but private audible voice of God. All right, we'll come on to the internal voice of God, but there are occasions, and I've spoken to people who have heard something, and not just in here, but through here, yeah? The external but private audible voice of God. I guess the biggest example of that, or the most obvious example of that, is probably Samuel, when Samuel got called with Eli, going back into the Old Testament. You remember that occasion? Samuel's a young boy, he's in bed, and he hears someone calling, and he thinks it's Eli. He clearly heard something. This wasn't just in his imagination. It was enough for him to wake up, get out of bed, and go to Eli. And he does this, and each time Eli says, "No, I haven't called you," and he goes back to bed, hears it again and again and again, until in the end Eli says, "Ah, I know what it is. God is speaking to you." And sure enough, that's what happens. Samuel hears a clear, audible voice. Has anybody had that experience? Jackie, do you want to tell us, do you want to just mention a little bit? Because it does happen.
Yeah, it was when I was giving birth to Daniel, who was stillborn. I knew he was dead at that point. And I was screaming. I can remember screaming. I remember hearing Brian tell me to stop screaming. But that was just letting all the hurt out more than anything. And then I definitely heard a voice, and it wasn't Brian's voice, saying, "I'm with you, Jackie. It's all right."
Wow. And you were there, Brian. Did you hear the voice? No. Wow. Again, going back to what we discussed on the previous one, the harder the thing that is before you, the clearer you need the revelation to be. God does speak, and God does act in those ways. I don't want to scare you that if God speaks, you know, but just beware, when God speaks like that, often there are tough times. Thank you for sharing that. Very significant moments. God does speak. Third way of God speaking is the internal audible voice. Got a verse from Ezekiel. Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 14 is speaking, and this is the sort of situation he faces. "Some of the elders of Israel came to me," this is Ezekiel speaking, "and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, this is what the sovereign Lord says.'" And he does. And you get that sense there that you know, he's sitting in front of these other people that have come to inquire of the Lord, and he's there, but there's no sense in which this is necessarily an audible voice. Certainly the people who have visited don't get to hear anything. But something, somehow, as Ezekiel says, the word of the Lord came to me. He knows the thoughts and desires of the heart of God's heart to the point where he can articulate them quite specifically. So God does speak into our hearts, into our minds, in an audible, but not outwardly audible, internally audible way. I guess the difficulty of these things is, how do you know you're hearing God? How do you know it's not just you imagining these things, and how do you know that it's God? I know that there have been times where I felt that I've internally heard something from God, whether it be a word or a sentence or something like that. How do you know it's not just wishful thinking? Tricky. There's the challenge of discernment, I guess. Sometimes it's really stark, but there's no guarantee that that's the case. I guess this comes down to good discipleship and a mature faith. You have to bring a number of things. When these sorts of things happen and you think, oh, what's that God speaking? You have to bring in a number of things into play. Does that which I've heard, does that align with Scripture? Yeah? Does this contradict Scripture, or does it align with it? Is it in line with the character of God? Is it the sort of thing that God would say? I think that's a fair, valid question for us to ask. And I would suggest that the more you know of God, the more that you deepen that relationship with God, the more you will be able to recognize his voice. I mean, that's what Jesus teaches, doesn't he, in John's Gospel, John 10. He's teaching John 10, verse 14. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." And I guess that's something. There's something in that. And they talk about, you know, good shepherds, the sheep recognize the voice. And the more you get to know God, the more that will be the case. One final factor with that, I think, that is worth thinking about is, does that word that God speaks remain? Does it remain? You know, the word of God is steadfast. We've already sort of spoken about his love, but his word is steadfast. God doesn't speak on whims. Yeah? God doesn't speak on whims that change with the wind. So I think it's valid to ask, does this word remain? I was given an internal audible word a few years ago when I was thinking and praying about my future and various things, and not sure whether I should make any decisions and this sort of thing. And I very clearly felt God say to me, essentially, don't worry, I will sort it for you, is the essence of the word that he gave. And at that point, I just thought, I'm at peace with that. I can just wait and let this be. What's interesting is, you know, time goes by and you start to pick up those worries again, don't you? And you start to question and this sort of thing. And every time I do that, every time I have a question about the future and a particular decision and that sort of thing, that word leaps back into my head and I remember what I heard then. And I cannot let it go. And it's like God's word remains. And I think that's a really important part of the faithfulness of God. You know, I've got a big question mark over those people who are called to be called. You sometimes come across them, the called to be called people. You know, I was called to do this, but I now, you know, I've just been called not to do this. And so I'm actually being called over to do this, but I've just been called away from that. So I'm going to go and go. Actually, no, there's a faithfulness aspect to living out our faith. Yes, there are pioneers who are called to set things up, but, you know, sometimes I think people can confuse their desires with the desires of God. So something to think about. We are moving through this, I promise. Fourthly, God speaks through dreams and visions. Obviously, the Old Testament prophets have this experience, but there are others in the New Testament. At Paul's conversion, God has to speak to a guy called Ananias, who's going to be the person to disciple Paul, at least in the short term. And he gives Ananias a vision. And he understands that. Peter, in Acts, has to get his head around the idea that Gentiles can become Christians. And so he has a vision. Remember the rug or the blanket being lowered with all the meats and shellfish and all the things I love to eat, all being lowered. But this is the way God communicates. And John, in Revelation, he's caught up in some sort of heavenly realm, some sort of vision experience. Now, I can't say I've ever had that sort of visionary experience. I think there have been times where God's communicated in dreams that have stood out. Again, you've got to be really discerning. I had a dream two nights ago that woke me up. I had a nightmare being chased by a crocodile. I do not believe it was from the Lord. So you have to discern these things. Not all dreams are God communicating, but there are times when he might do that. Has anybody had any sort of dream vision experience? Sometimes, yeah? Do you want to say something? Say something about it?
It's quite a short one. It was I was at New Day and I was sort of praying for who to pray for, and I got sort of a name in my head, sort of. I think it was just visual. It was just Joe, and there was somebody in our youth group who was called Joe. And then as soon as that happened, I heard a thud, and I opened my eyes, and I was like, "Oh, that's Joe on the floor, just been filled with the Holy Spirit." And I was like, "Wow, yeah,
that's awesome."
This one came at a very heavy time. Mum was just a few weeks, I didn't know at the time, just a few weeks from death's door. My sister had come back from America, so it's all hands on deck, caring for her. I went for a stage of setting five things for myself to do to get through during the day. I came to the end of the day and I hadn't done a single one of those goals. I just felt I'm going to have a really sleepless night full of anxiety. And I just carried on for a few moments like that. And the next thing was that I had a kind of vision as if I was in a spacecraft. Just looking down at the earth as the earth was getting smaller and smaller, getting further away from it. Didn't realise, but a sense of peace was overwhelming me. I think that's the main message. My head hit the pillow. I'd never had such a good night's sleep.
Wow.
So, reassurance.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, so God can speak through dreams and visions. And actually, what you tapped into there was God speaks through words and impressions and pictures. I felt we had one today, that I was given one today earlier on. Now, that needs to be weighed. You offer these things and see whether it was God. And if it's not of God, that's okay. You know, these things need to be tested. I think we're going to do a whole seminar on words and impressions and pictures, because what I would say about those sorts of things, in my experience, this is something that is part, I believe this is part of every Christian's walk. You know, those other things that we've spoken of already are specific, and sometimes they're to do with someone's calling, if they are called and gifted as a prophet or something like that. But I do think that God does seem to communicate to all Christians often, if we're open to it, in these ways of words and pictures and impressions and that sort of thing. I think if we're open to the Spirit's work in our lives, we can expect those sorts of things to start happening. Now, not every tradition would hold to that. If conservative traditions in Christianity may not feel that that's the case. But certainly my experience in the Baptist world is that actually this is normal as we mature in our faith and open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just that some people are super spiritual and tuned into those things and others not. I actually think at the end of the day, God speaks. And he seems to speak in that way. And there should be an expectation that God will speak. I know from my experience, I often feel when I pray with people that I have a word to speak into their lives. I ask for that. And actually, when I pray for people, when I minister to people, the first thing that I do is, whether I say it out loud or internally, I say, Lord, what do you want to say to this person? Believing that God wants to communicate. And so we seek these things, and in faith, step out in faith with these things. It takes maturing and practice and confidence, and there's always a sense of humility with these things, but it is possible. Yeah, Phil, did you want to say something? Sorry.
I just find God talks to us sometimes in the form of confirmations. So sometimes we'll think about something. We might not be sure what it is, but we'll find it coming back to us, maybe through a radio or something like that. And suddenly you'll find, that was it.
Yeah.
And we might not know the answer, but it'll come back to us in another form, and we just have to recognize it when it comes.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of these things, we operate in terms of faith, don't we? We operate in that sphere of faith. So we have to humbly offer these things, and God in his grace often will bring some sort of confirmation that affirms that, yeah, we were hearing from God, and that's great. And the thing about that is to not be precious. But if we haven't really heard from God and it was actually something that came from us, that's okay. And we shouldn't feel precious about these things. Just very briefly, not going to go into it today. There are other ways in which God communicates and speaks to us. There are, of course, angels. Anybody met an angel? You probably have, maybe, because the Bible says that, you know, open up your doors, be hospitable, and you might well entertain angels. I'm not sure I've ever met an angel, but the possibility's there, and I'm open to that, so that's one way. Of course, God also communicates through other human beings, doesn't he? And that's the beauty of being in community. We're not isolated, but God speaks to us in different ways through human beings. And actually, Paul writes in Colossians, he tells the church, teach one another, sing songs to one another. In other words, through that community activity, God can speak. And that's wonderful. And if you read the magazine, there's an article there from Arab World Ministries, the last article. The other way God speaks is Jesus can sometimes turn up. And read. I won't say any more than that, but read the story in there. It is phenomenal. If you weren't sure whether Jesus walks this earth, you will be after you've read that. So I just commend that to you. So there's a myriad ways in which God communicates. And I hope we can all affirm God speaks. And I guess my prayer for us, I mean, I know that was only a brief survey. I guess my prayer for us is, can we pray God speak more? We're on the verge of a prayer week where that's at the heart of what we're about. I hope on an individual basis, but also as a church, we're able to pray that prayer. Lord, speak more. Let us hear you more clearly. We want to know your will for our lives individually, but also for this church. Amen. Brief survey. Thank you for racing through that. I hope that was of benefit. Let me pray for us, and then you can be on your way. Father God, I thank you that you are indeed a God who speaks, and there is power in your words. And I thank you that you choose to speak in so many different ways, and you know us as individually and the way we communicate. So you're able to speak in our language, in our love language, if you like. I thank you that you speak audibly, through impressions, through words, through prophecies, through the scriptures, through each other, all these different ways. Not so much the car horn, though. But I thank you that you are a God who speaks, and we want to hear more. So speak to us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.